Bull, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, I wanted to make sure you didn't doze off. I know you got a, we got you a little early because you're in Evansville now. Is that where you're at right now?
Evansville, yeah. Yeah, this is the end of a road trip, which feels like it's been going on forever. These guys haven't played at home since Sunday, July 10th, so it's been almost 2 weeks.
Wow. That's right. They had the All-Star break, and then they head on the road. A lot of the sports team getting out of town during this particular time, but we had a little bit of a streak going. Things snapped yesterday, losing 2-1. Take us into this game. I guess it was pretty much a pitcher's duel.
Yeah, and it went into the 11th inning. And for those who aren't aware, when the Frontier League a couple of years ago, they went into these speed-up rules, and one of the speed-up rules involves what's called an international tiebreaker. It's typically used in softball games. I don't know if they use it at the high school level, but they certainly do use it at the college level. And this is going to sound a little bit funky, but the way they do it is the batter who made the last out in the previous inning starts the 11th inning on second base. And they do that so that they don't end up playing 15, 16, 17, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, the Indians case when they had that 14-game winning streak, you know, 19 innings, they do that so that you're not playing into the wee hours of the night. So yesterday, that's how they lost. They lost with the international tiebreaker rule. They had a chance to score with a man on second base to start the top of the 11th. They didn't. And then Evansville, on the bottom of the 11th inning, started with a man on second base. They were able to manufacture that run, get him around the score. So both games are tough to lose, especially, you know, when you're playing deep into the night as they were. And, you know, they've lost some close games over this road trip so far. So they've played better. I mean, it seems like they pitched a heck of a lot better, and I think that's a promising sign moving forward. And if they win tonight, they will have gone 3-3 on this road trip, and that's certainly not too bad, all things considered.
So we're not going to have one of those, was it a number of years ago? We had a game here on WEOL that went into the wee hours of the night. I don't know if that was maybe coupled with a rain delay or something of that effect, but I do remember a long game that took place with the Crushers.
Yes, it was 17 innings. It was back in 2013. I mean, those are the kinds of games you try and forget, but you never really can. And we had a 10:30 or 11 a.m. game that very next morning, and I'll never forget. Alcorn and I are calling this game, and I think we ended somewhere in the area of 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. But that game just kept going and going and going. And, you know, again, the Frontier League has stepped in and they said, look, you know, we understand that very little good comes of everybody waiting around the ballpark until that hour of the night. You know, the fans typically don't stick around to the end of those games for all the obvious reasons. And I believe it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, Steve Tassel, the deputy commissioner, was listening in on one of the WEOL broadcasts, and he heard us talking about that, and he sent me a text right away. He said, I'm listening to the game on my drive home. Actually, only two games over the course of the last 2 years since we instituted that rule have gone into the 13th inning. So clearly it's worked because they've been able to knock down the number of innings played. And there are a lot of people who are very much opposed to that because they just don't think that it accurately depicts, you know, how a game should or should not be decided. But they've achieved their goal of trying to reduce the amount of innings played, which I think solves a number of problems.
Right, and you know, what will happen is they'll say, well, it's not fair the way it ended. But then if you look back through the game, you have your opportunities. The Crushers had a lot of opportunities yesterday to get more than one run.
Right. Right, and just couldn't cash in, you know, in the 2-1 game. That's typically what happens. And, you know, there are some positives that come out of games like that. I mean, there are some guys that pitched in that game last night that hadn't gotten work in a very long time. You know, Jordan McCoy is a perfect example. He hadn't worked a game since June 30th. That's a long time to go between appearances. So the fact that they were able to get guys in there and get some work and coming out of the bullpen, I think, was very promising, even though, again, it did come in a loss. But you need guys like that to step into high-pressure situations and get some work in, because with the managerial change and everything like that, the bullpen, I think, is really one area that I don't want to say they took a hit, but they've kind of taken a back seat, because that was really the group that Mons relied on the most when he was in town. But since Cam Roth has taken over, he has tried to improve the club at the plate. He's tried to improve the starting rotation, and he's given starters a longer leash. But by doing so, he's kind of reduced some of the roles in the bullpen. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's been a welcome change. But when there's a change in philosophy like that, that group as a whole doesn't get used nearly as much, but they really relied on those guys last night.
Bull, I'm thinking that since the last time we spoke, another player has been signed by a major league organization. Is that right?
Yeah, Brett Cynic, catcher, was signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates. That happened over the weekend, and that's obviously great for him because he was, I think, you know, from what I've been told, he had been kind of hanging around the Schaumburg Boomers camp for a while, and then when, you know, Can came over at the end of June, Cynic was one of the first guys that he signed, and when he brought along with him, and, you know, he wasn't playing every day. He was playing about every other day, splitting time behind the plate with Brian De La Rosa, and yeah, clearly he did enough to draw the attention of someone in the Pirates to give him the chance to sign. So it's obviously good for the team, too, because, you know, at this level, you want to get recognized, and I think it helps these guys attract more players when they could show these guys who are coming in, hey, you know, this season we've gotten three guys to sign contracts with big league teams. I mean, Connor Oliver was signed by the Yankees, Fernando Gallegos was signed by the White Sox, and now, of course, Cynic signed by the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's good. It's a very good thing, and I think it still goes to show that even though it is independent ball, pro scouts are out there watching and they're paying attention.
It also shows an insight into the talent that we acquire for the Crushers, that they're obviously good enough at some point. You know, Major League scouts are looking, so that's kind of bodes well for the kind of talent we can maybe acquire along the way. We've got the normal Corn Belters when they come back home this weekend, and I know Sunday we've got the game on the air. 5:05 first pitch. We'll have it for you here on AM 930. Andy Bulbarch and others on WEOL. And we'll talk again next Thursday during the final day of the Democratic National Convention. So we'll see how things go as we keep focused on that. Have a good week, Andy. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you, guys. You too.
All right. Andy Bulbarch, voice of the Lakery Crushers here on WEOL.